The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Now, Dan Roberts and Sergio Mimesso, they'll join us before they really go to work in the broadcast booth, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you. We didn't get to this with Pierre. First, I thought it was a typo when I saw this at tsn.ca. But
I'm all right if we're on a 3-2, maybe the guy takes it out of the area. That's a full-fledged strategy. I'm not okay if we're late at the end of the ship. We're pulling up with blue, throwing something flying. Okay,
that's tame. Glenn Gallutzen f-bombs at practice with Calgary after they got beat 5-2. Right? Didn't he just like throw a stick in the crowd, or was that in October?
It certainly
was pretty recent when he threw a stick in the crowd, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wasn't. So now oh man, but that's nothing. It's because cameras are there and microphones are there and they pick up everything. Oh no, a head coach after a loss says the F word to his players. Oh no.
Michael Farber on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Morella's Restaurant, with an open kitchen concept, charcoal fire pit, and a wood-burning pizza oven from Napoli. Route 132 next to Poker Palace.
Here he is every Monday at this time. Mr. Michael Farber, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And by the way, it was described as a rant. That was no rant.
That was nothing. He just decided to throw a, like some people, the late great Ian McDonald, every third word was started with F, right?
You know, the best at it was George Bamberger.
Well, the pitching coach.
Pitching coach, manager of the Milwaukee Brewers when they went to the World Series in 1982. Pitching coach with Baltimore. And it flowed so naturally. It was just his way of speaking. Adjectives, adverbs, occasional verb, and noun. I mean, he was a four-tool pitching coach. He could bring it.
Yeah, him and Earl Weaver, watching them in the dugout for years and years. Double play combination in the dugout for the Orioles all those years.
I wonder if we banned these words from the active vocabulary of athletes and coaches, whether they'd have anything to say to each other at all. It's profanity is just such a natural part of the way they speak that a lot of them would be lost for words.
Yeah, but not you. I don't think I've ever heard you utter one.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I don't mean
to paint a picture of who you're not, but I've spent a little bit of time with you through the years, and I don't recall.
No, I don't use it a lot, but, I can go low. I can go high. I can go low. You know, it's not like hanging out with a teamster, but...
The most shocking moment of my professional life might have been at Ted Blackman's 60th surprise party when George Balkin got up and told a story that involved a word starting with C. And it was just a shocker.
I can understand that. Yeah.
Kenny Singleton tweeting today, since you mentioned baseball, and then we'll move back to the Habs.
Sure.
This will be my final season of calling baseball games. I've been playing or talking baseball ever since I was 4 years old. It's time for this enjoyable ride to end. Thanks, fans, for allowing me into your homes and businesses. It has been my pleasure. How about that?
Yeah, and we always like Kenny. I'm using the royal we here, but I presume you also like Kenny.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He was a sweetheart. A really good outfielder, switch-hitting outfielder. We remember him in Montreal. People in Baltimore remember him there. The Mets, his hometown team, even though Kenny has lived in Baltimore low these many years, even while doing Yes broadcast. Did you work with him in the booth?
No. I worked with him, but not in the booth. There's a funny story, but I'll tell it another day.
Okay.
He ended up doing two games in one day, and the Expos game was a second, and they had asked me to work it in New York because I was going to be in New York anyway. And then I said, Kenny's going to be there. And anyway, there was some friction there. So you could tell he was coming to the end with Montreal.
Yeah.
And he moved on to the Yankees after that. I think the Expos wanted him to be based here, like year-round.
Right.
And he was moving on.
Yeah, no, and he did great on Yes, and he became one of these color analysts who became a perfectly fine play-by-play guy. So lots of time for that. We see it in hockey. Randy Moeller did that for a while. What we're seeing in Dallas now, Darryl Ray.
Right.
Doing some play-by-play. And, you know, I love guys showing that versatility, and they became credible play-by-play people. Well, Kenny can call a game and analyze it, and he was a pleasure. It was a honey-tinged, honey-toned voice. It was just so easy to listen to, and that's the great thing about baseball, because what you're doing or should be doing with your broadcast is having a 162-game conversation with your fan base. You shouldn't be selling it. You should be talking about it, and Kenny knew that. Even though there might have been some internal or external pressures working for the YES Network to hype the Yankees own their own network, I never sensed that with Kenny. He would tell his stories. He wouldn't overpraise. He would just go about his business. And the best broadcasts are the ones who pick up the day after and assume you know what you're watching and listening to and that you're part of the family. It's shared values and shared expectations when you follow a baseball team over the course of spring, summer, and you hope fall. And I think Ken represented that.
Very, very smooth. Used to love listening to him and Jim Cott in the booth, Yankee games. The pitcher, the cerebral pitcher, and the hitter, who was one of the smartest hitters we ever saw, albeit very briefly as a member of the Expos. We have attempted to reach out. Rod has reached out to Kenny Singleton, and we hope to be able to get him on this week, depending on their schedule. But Kenny Singleton announcing that this will be his last year in the booth, if you're just joining us. So 162 games. Imagine if the Canadians had to play 162 games this season.
Well, you just hope tonight they're not cannon fodder in Columbus. We remember the Al Montoya game.
Oh, my goodness. 10, right?
Yeah, they were 10, and in fact, Michel Therrien was absolutely wise not to use Carey Price that night, even though he was criticized for it. I thought he handled it as well as he could, and I thought Montoya was a pro and took the beating for the team. I'm surprised half the guys didn't go deaf in that arena from the cannons going off. There are certain sounds that a player in the NHL doesn't want to hear. Among them were the goal song in Chicago, Chelsea Dagger, Brass Bonanza,
Hartford.
Bobby Smith used to tell me that he hated that song. It was like the worst song in the world, and it was one of the earworms that would just crawl into their heads. And some of those Whalers teams were pretty good. And you didn't want to get scored on in Hartford. And then the cannon. You just don't want to hear that thing going off indoors. And Columbus is not one of the toughest places to play, but it's moving in that direction. And they're a pretty good team. And Montreal right now isn't a good team. They get participation points for playing well. As they did against Tampa. For some reason, Tampa brings out the best of them. I don't know if that's because there was a trade made between the teams, a significant one. But after that no-show in Florida, that Colin Kaepernick take a knee game, it was, I suppose, nice to see them rebound a little bit. But this is the NHL. You shouldn't be getting participation points.
What's your advice for Canadiens fans who know... You know, they know nothing's happening, but they can't totally tear themselves away from the team yet because there's a game on.
Yeah, I watch. I watch Sherbach and Riley and Juleson, and when all these guys are in the lineup and healthy, not because, well, they're establishing themselves for next year. It's just I don't know enough about them. You know, I want to see these guys. I want to form an impression. We know a lot about other players on the team. We probably know enough about Jonathan Drouin at the moment, at least Drouin as a center. We know about Galchenyuk. We know about Gallagher. We probably know enough about Lindgren right now. I'm pretty comfortable knowing what Lindgren is and what he might be. Mm-hmm. But there's some players on that team I don't really have a sense of. So you watch for that, and it's part of your town. So that's why you watch.
With Michael Farber every Monday at 6:05 on the Irish Embassy pregame portion of Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. We'll finish up with Tiger in just a moment.
What about some of the veterans and young veterans? You did mention Drouin, but it could be, heck, it could be Carl Alsner. Anything over the next 12 to 14 games, are they going to do anything that might affect your opinion of them, Michael, or might affect their reputations, or should we just, in their case, hit fast forward and move on?
Yeah, I'm in favor of the fast forward. I mean, Carl Alsner, you mentioned, he's been around. We saw a ton of him in Washington. Washington, for years, was one of my default teams. When I didn't know what to watch, I'd watch the Capitals because they were a lot of fun. So I saw a lot of Alsner, and you knew what he could do and what he couldn't do. I mean, he is not a defenseman who's going to get you five goals. He'll get you three goals, and he's not fleet of foot, and he's a steady presence, or was in Washington, and has maybe bit off more than he can chew. We know about Jacob De La Rose, even though some people say, let's kind of figure him out. Jacob De La Rose will not score. Even the game he had a couple goals, you know, he took like three whacks at that second goal.
I think it was I'm so glad you mentioned it, because I thought I was the only one who noticed that it was another guy coming in, and he might have deflected that off the guy's stick who was coming in late.
Well, you know, he looked like he was flailing at it.
It's an open net, yeah.
He's not a goal scorer and never has been at any level. So suddenly, if there's anyone who envisions De La Rose, well, if a centerman or as a winger who can be Gainey-esque, oh, he'll get you 15 goals and, you know, check hard. Well, that's not De La Rose. He'll get you five goals. So we know about these players. So really, there's not much that's going to change my mind here at all. So we'll watch these games, and I'll watch some of the younger players, and then we'll be doing, there's a website, I forget what it's called, lotteryodds.com. That's probably not it.
What was it? Were you talking like a lottery simulator?
Yeah,
lottery. Yeah, Campbell did it. What happened, Gallo, when Campbell played it for the first time? The lottery simulator.
When Campbell played it for the first time, it came up Montreal Canadiens drafting number one.
How about that?
Well, let's run 100 of these, and let's see what comes up.
If you run 100, you're Jim Benning.
That's very funny.
All right, let's finish up here. Just before 6 o'clock, we had the man who's going to receive he is the first Canadian to receive the PGA Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism. It'll happen in Augusta, just prior to the Masters, early next month.
No, it was Tiger doing Tiger things, you know. I mean, he hadn't really made any putts of consequence all day. Missed a bunch in the 8-10-foot range, and then he goes ahead and he bombs that one in, as he's done so often through the course of his career. So you're right, it was hard not to get caught up on that and just be rational and say to yourself, well, what's the likelihood of him then making the 35-footer on the last green? Even Paul Casey thought he would make it.
Lauren Rubenstein from Jupiter, Florida, Michael.
Yeah, that was an amazing putt, and Tiger finished -9, but that's not the number we're talking about today, or we're thinking about, or dreaming about. We're thinking about 44 long. That's his jacket size. Green is one of his favorite colors, at least in early April in Augusta, Georgia. Suddenly, the comeback is all but complete. Tiger Woods has checked essentially every box now. He has come back. He has played well enough, certainly, to be in contention on a pretty good leaderboard yesterday. I thought the key was the 14th hole when he hit this fabulous 2-iron, put it just in front of the green. It was on the green, rolled back, and he failed to get up and down from just in front of the green, and I think that's where it turned. Woods played well, and people get excited, and it's worth watching. Tiger Woods in red on Sunday on the leaderboard, that remains a thing, even though he hasn't won in 4.5 years. Well, if he had won, he would have been, if not a Masters co-favorite, but he certainly would have been 8-1. And now he may be 10-1, and he's playing this week at Bay Hill, where he's won 8 times. So we will see if he can follow it up. The fact that he's playing consecutive weeks tells us a lot, and the fact that he could smash that two iron 240 yards or however far he hit it, tells us he's physically he's fine and he's real, real close. And we'll look for him at Augusta because it's really all about the 44 long at this point.
Michael Farber with us every Monday at 6:05, award-winning writer and broadcaster. Always good to talk to you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Take care, Mitch.
Bye-bye. Rod, what's your jacket size? You come in, I don't know, maybe two or three times a year wearing this jacket that is definitely long on you.
Yeah, it is a little bit, and I'll be wearing it tomorrow, actually. You'll see. So I'll tell, I don't know for a fact, I will know for a fact tomorrow, but it's probably 40, 42,
yeah,
maybe, I'll know for sure
why
tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to the game tomorrow.
Yes,
you're sitting
I am.
With Dave Smith, or you're sitting in Dave's seats.
That's right, yes.
From Home Vietnam Electronic.
Correct.
Oh.
I am going to head by the store tomorrow morning, going to get the full tour, the full experience, which, as you've pointed out many times, just visiting the store is
just an experience. Visiting the store. It's a good vibe there. It's just good people. They put a smile on your face. Whether you buy something or not, it's just you learn something. Every time you go in, you learn something there. I'm intrigued by technology that I don't know how to explain. And that's what they do very well at Ambirama. And they're always ahead. So the next time I go in there, well, you're going to beat me to it. They're going to tell you what the next big thing is long before it even hits here, because they're already looking into it. That's what they do. They stay ahead of the technological curve. And on Vietnam Electronic, 4914 Sherbrooke and Westmount. So Rod is going to be sitting in the Reds for the return of Radulov tomorrow night.
Yes.
Not 25 goal scorer, Alexander Radulov. 60 points, right? And he's still got time. Did we do this with Radulov? We did it last year, and we came pretty close, right? When we projected at the beginning of the season with Scott Cullen,
mm-hmm.
what Radulov would end up with, I think we all said 50 to 60.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. I think I gave it a 30-30.
30-30. Is there anybody surprised playing with Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn most of the year that he's where he is? He could hit 70?
No.
No. Well, of course not. Some people are.
Did they not watch him last season?
You know what the reaction is when you sign a long contract. So, okay, now that he's going to take his foot off the gas now that he's locked in for 4 years. These are people who have never seen him play at any level. He wore a C. You know? So once upon a time, a few years ago, he got drunk and he was stupid and he paid for it. But on the ice, you never, ever had to question Alexander Radulov whether he was ready to play. On the ice.
And that's why, you know, go look at his stats. Like, you don't even have to have watched him play. Go look at his stats. He never took his foot off the gas, ever.
Yeah.
Anywhere he's played. Junior, Nashville, the KHL, Magnuskog, or I don't know where he played.
What?
Magnuskog? What is that?
Oh, you're getting close. That's pretty close. You can do it. He's helping you. You started. You can
finish.
Yeah,
you're like 60% of the way there.
I got the mag part right.
Magnitogorsk.
Magnitogorsk.
Yeah. Gesundheit.
The Irish Embassy pregame show brought to you by